Recording. Taiwan Special, episode 4 for the week. Hello. Surprise. Feature Friday. I'm doing this later on at night. I've been out and about all day. And I'm just thinking, you know, I don't know, maybe you can, my nose is getting stuffy. It's been cold and it's been rainy and I think I'm coming down with something. I've been sleeping a lot extra, but you know, sometimes your body gets low on vitamin C and boom, there's nothing you can do about it. I've been thinking, careful. Oh, by the way, I never said this week, this beautiful beach scene behind me is the beach just outside of Tainan. It's a black sand beach. I think you call it volcanic sand. There aren't any volcanoes that I'm aware of, anyway, on Taiwan. But I say on because it's an island. Some things that I really felt needed elaboration on and clarity from the Taiwan special this past week. It was a hit and miss, but this theme that there are no innocent victims. I really just think I could do a better job of just explaining this. I've gone through a lot of philosophy about the background of why and where it came from, but let me breeze over this in at least two or three points. So follow everything that I've got to say here. I think I've got at least 3 points with this. One, why there are no quote unquote innocent people. And then I'm going to explain what that doesn't mean. And then why in the world I would say such a thing in the first place. So hang in with me here. But a review in better detail. Taiwanese and Americans. Different culture. Everyone has their problems. Problems are different. If the Taiwanese would reach out to people more, would take action instead of be a do-nothing culture, but take action sometimes. I mean, a lot of times, not taking action and just doing nothing and ignoring problems until they go away really does help. My rich dad taught me that. A lot of problems are only created because we feel the need to answer them. So many things. You know, he called me an idiot. Oh, just ignore him. You know, that really is the answer. And this seems to be something Americans haven't figured out. And I learned it in Taiwan. I'm one of the Americans that didn't know this. I couldn't understand my rich dad what he was talking about. I didn't know what he was talking about. I believed him. Because he doesn't have conflicts with people. But I didn't understand. But in Taiwan, they take that to the other extreme, where they do nothing even when they should. There are videos on TV, car crashes. Here comes a forklift. We're talking a forklift, this type of forklift that could lift a semi-tractor. The cab of a semi is called a tractor. We're talking a giant forklift rolling down the road, maybe 15 miles an hour. It would take at least a block, maybe two, for the thing to stop. It's big. It's not stopping 15 miles an hour. Some car just pulls out very, very, very slowly right in front of it. The driver, doesn't speed up, can speed up, doesn't speed up, doesn't stop, just keeps going, doesn't scream even more as it gets closer. That's his worry scream, by the way. And just sits there, doesn't step on the gas, doesn't step on the brake, continues his normal speed, perfectly timed so that this forklift plows right into him and runs it through with the forklift. And you're going, what happened? It's a do-nothing culture. It's so documented. All right, I've whined and complained about this enough, but you know, if they would reach out in friendship, if they wouldn't punish people for having new ideas, if teachers in the Taiwanese classes wouldn't tell their students that there's only one way to translate something into English. These are real problems that ESL teachers deal with in Taiwan. If they would be open to new ideas and if they would be open to each other and if they would take action and if they would be smart about things, their companies would be up there with Samsung and Sony, and they would make good stuff, and their economy would have lots of money, and China wouldn't be a threat. China would be a friend, but they won't change their culture. Nothing about it. Some parts of culture you want to keep, but some parts of culture, don't we all know, they need to just go, and no matter where we are. Americans. If we would drop our obsession with football on TV and fantasy football games, if we would spend less time watching BET and MTV, and if we would talk around the dinner table about what the Constitution says, when it should and should not be changed, based on what other smart people have said, not just our own imaginations, and then also our own imaginations, talk about that too. If we would talk about what the government process is of electing a president and impeaching and removing a president, two separate things. If we would talk about how curriculum and education should get developed versus how it does get developed. If we would talk about why companies fail and why companies succeed. If we would talk about, you know, doing quality work versus doing quick and easy work. If we would talk about important things with our families and children and our parents in America, then we would not have had the problems that we've had with the last five presidents, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump. The problems we've experienced during those times, we probably would not have experienced, if not from the presidents, but during the times of those presidents. And then the things we disagree with about those presidents probably would have been much less important. We might not have even cared. But because we don't do better in our daily lives, we have many problems. They're different problems. Americans prepare too much. Taiwanese never prepare for anything. They don't prepare for catastrophes. They just expect everything's going to be all right. Now, we've got many, many good traits and so forth. But if people would do better with certain decisions, Katrina, they had money from the federal government to build the levees, but they didn't. They had buses to evacuate the city, but those buses were destroyed by the flood because people did not get on them to leave. If we would take action and be smart, there would be so many problems we would avoid. But war is coming between the U.S. and China. And okay, this gets to my point. You know, that's the first thing. What do I mean by this? Don't say that all of this was a surprise or that the people that get hurt were just 100% victims. These people didn't want any of this. They did everything in their power to stop it every time they could. People told them to do better and they always listened. They were telling other people, don't tell me that, because that's not what's happening. People don't care about doing the very things that would lead to things that would save them. And it's different in different cultures, and it's in different parts of the world. It's different, but we all have our things that mess with us. God is not unjust for the problems that we create by the things we create, by the things we create that come back to haunt us. God is not unjust for letting us grow what we sow. Now, what about children? Children are innocent today, but then they grow up. What happens if a child doesn't listen to his parents? You know, Taiwan, for example, I'll go back to that because it's always interesting. It's called the Taiwan special. So I'm not griping about Taiwan. I'm informing you about it. America has lots of their own problems. I'm sure and I hope you can think about problems in your own culture. Maybe you're a Kiwi. For those of you in Reed Rapids, that's Australia, New Zealand, people. Maybe you're from South Africa. Josh, wherever, we've all got problems in our cultures. In Taiwan, do you know why most people don't learn to swim? The people who don't learn to swim, the reason why is because in their Taoism, they believe that ghosts haunt the water. And so they don't learn to swim because they don't want to be haunted by ghosts. Okay, well, a flood comes along or there's a tsunami, let's say, just something happens and a boat sinks, a car drives off a bridge and someone dies, drowns because they never learned to swim because they didn't want to die from the ghosts. Look, I'm all for people practicing whatever religion they want because God is all for people practicing whatever religion they want and dealing with the negative consequences of it. In the Old Testament, God wouldn't let the only nation on earth that was going to lead to Jesus saving all of us practice whatever they wanted. He would. Israel the only ones in the world that weren't burning their children alive. God wouldn't let them practice whatever religion they want. But Jesus came along, the truth was known, and widespread child sacrifices stopped across the world. So we live in a different plural religious environment today. I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in forcing him on anybody because I don't think he needs to be. I'm all for people practicing a religion I disagree with. Fine. But I'm not in favor of not learning to swim because someone's afraid of the ghosts. Tough. Deal with the ghosts. We got to learn to swim. Find some way to appease the ghosts or whatever you have to do in your religion, but learn to swim, goodness. And this is a reason people don't learn to swim in Taiwan. Now, this is where I start to get controversial. Children are innocent, right? People, this is an argument. Children are so innocent. You really want to talk about that? If children in Taiwan disobey their parents about the ghost superstition and go learn to swim anyway, what would a Christian American Sunday morning churchy church pastor say about that child? Would he say that that child's good? See, I'm not part of the rubber stamp mom and dad cult. I've never been part of that cult. And you know, Sunday morning loves that cult because Sunday morning gets its money from mom and dad. So mom and dad have to be always right. They have to tell people what they want if they're going to give you what you want from them. So I believe that good children will not listen to their mom and dad and say, forget the ghosts. I need to splash around in some water and safely with my friends learn to swim the right way. Now, when you're young, it's hard to learn to swim without adults watching you and stuff. So that's difficult. But when you get to be 13, 16 years old, and you're able to get on your bicycle and go down to the pool and take your lunch money and go to the pool for an hour and learn to swim. I think that a good, smart, respectful, obedient 13-year-old would disobey his mother and father and forget the ghost superstition and go to the swimming pool and learn to swim so he can save his own parents' lives because they didn't learn to swim for whenever floodwaters come. I think good children would do that, yes. And a lot of people, you know, there's a line of what's reasonable and not reasonable. And I'm not in the cult that rubber stamps parents and says that they're always wonderful. I don't believe in overriding parents. I don't like Child Protective Services in what they stick their nose in a lot of stuff. So I think that the set of what government allows parents to do and doesn't allow parents to do, I think is all off. We need to rearrange what those things are, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Or are we? We say children are innocent. How innocent are they? They're innocent today, but they grow up. When they grow up, will they be different from their parents? How many children say, Mom, Dad, I don't like your ghost thing. That's ridiculous. And I'm an adult and I'm not going to do that. And I don't want you teaching my kids that, you know, Grandma and Grandpa by now. No. How many parents, if their adult children told them that, would think that their children don't love them? Well, okay, where does it happen in America? What about the controlling mother and the child who says, Mom, I would like to clean my own room, thank you. Mom, I would like to go somewhere with my friends and you not be there the whole time. Will that parent not think their child hates them? How many children actually would do that rather than get the Oedipus complex thing going? Are children really innocent? So I don't want bad things to happen to people, and I don't wish bad things to happen to people, but the whole people are innocent thing, it's really hard to sell. It's a hard sell to say that people are innocent. I think that's really overrated. And then even children innocence. Do you really want to know what innocent, truly, truly innocent children will do? They'll do things that their parents disagree with. If the parents do things that are foolish, then children who are truly innocent will be considered rebellious by their parents. This is, see, in a simple world, innocent people die. And that's simple and easy to deal with. But if we really want to think about it, there are no innocent people, not even children. Now, what about the people that really do the right thing? Well, when the tsunami comes, when the car falls off the bridge and splashes into the water, the truly innocent people will have made themselves strong and they'll be able to swim. When the power goes out or the war comes, the truly innocent people will have food at home and they will survive when hard times come. The innocent people will not be hurt. And if there are truly wise, innocent people that God calls home to heaven, he didn't hurt them. He actually helped them. But that's another religious discussion. So just this idea of innocent people getting hurt, there's a lot. It's not that simple. I'm not in favor of hurting people. I want to stop. But the thing is, I don't have the power to stop, quote unquote, innocent people from being hurt as much as the innocent people do, quote unquote. If the innocent people, quote unquote, would actually be innocent, if they are, and talk about the Constitution and the government and the economy around the dinner table and education and how businesses succeed and fail. And in Taiwan, accept answers that are different and not written in the textbook. And talk to people that you don't know, you know, without being angry. And actually take action. If people would do things, then they really would be innocent. And they would have far more power to stop the bad things that come to them. You know, when economies get bad, you know, everyone loved Clinton because he was a good speaker. How many people a decade after Clinton left office had money problems because their families took out a loan that they couldn't afford and they went into bankruptcy? But that's okay. They liked Clinton because he was a good speaker. They didn't talk about financial responsibility. If we would take good action, we won't get hurt. So I don't believe that innocent people get hurt. Innocent people who die go to a better place and they get out of here and have to deal with us idiots. Even I'm an idiot at times. And good people have to deal with my idiocy. My dad, I love him. He's gone. He's out of here. He doesn't have to deal with my problems anymore. All right, innocent people. My big point in this really is to defend God. That's really the point. God is not wrong. God is not a big meanie face. God is not unjust. If you really want to talk about justice, if you really want to go through the deliberation that a good jury will go through, if you really want to go through the arguments that the prosecutor and the defendant and the judge will force the courtroom to listen to, if you really want to have the discussion, it's not that simple to say innocent people get hurt. That's my point. Now, kind of related to this situation, because I say this is very relevant because war is brewing with Taiwan and China and America and all that stuff. This is very relevant. And in months, years down the road, people are going to die. And it's very sad. And I wish it didn't happen. I hope it doesn't. I'm not going to get what I want. Because other people make choices and I don't have control over those choices. And bad people win today and lose tomorrow. Foolish people lose as well. Maybe every day. Who knows? Good people have bad things happen to them that make them stronger. The world is not as cute and adorable as our Disney fairy tales want us to think it is. Something else relevant is happening. And I didn't mention this at all this past week. Protests are coming up in Hong Kong. Now I'm doing this talk right now. I'm talking to you right now. The time right now is 10:38 p.m. Monday night. I haven't even actually uploaded the Pacific Times videos this week for June 10, 2019. Just technical. Okay, to get what the time is. I did not write at the Pacific Times this week about the protests in Hong Kong. And there was a reason that I didn't. So someone's going to say, Jesse didn't talk about the news. I don't think those protests in Hong Kong are news. I think, because people have been protesting this before. Now, I put it in the links. It's in the articles, the links to the articles, you know. the news links. Those are there. But I didn't write about it. And the reason I didn't write about it is because the real news is going to be about what happens after. In the coming weeks, Hong Kong's government is going to pass this extradition law. And I've talked about the law in the past. This extradition law that everyone's protesting. There's like 500,000 people marched around Hong Kong Island within the past few days. And this march, somewhere like a few days ago, like Friday or Saturday or something. Maybe Sunday. There's this massive march. And they're complaining about this extradition law. That Hong Kong would be extraditing wanted criminals to China, among other countries. They're trying to sell it. Well, there was a Hong Konger who killed some girl while he was in Taiwan and ran away. And we don't have a way to send him to Taiwan, so we have to change the law so we can send people to go to China in a secret trial and be lied about and sent to a concentration camp. It's like, oh, wait a minute, that logic kind of goes back to like George W. Bush and the Patriot Act. Bush wants to have a war with a country we shouldn't be involved with, and therefore we all have to give up our rights and we have to have a Republican president pass a law that would typically be passed by a Democrat president. Wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. That's happening in Hong Kong, kind of. That's the argument. Look, I don't think these marches... They're marching in Taipei. There's like 500 Hong Kongers that are in Taiwan, went to the Hong Kong embassy or whatever, whatnot, the office, the economic office. You know, so we've got, you know, different marches going on. I don't think that these different marches are the news. I think the news is going to be whether Hong Kong's government listens. I don't know. In fact, this week, the reason I wrote the point the way that I did, it's very possible that Hong Kong passes the law anyway. And if they do, Hong Kongers and countries around the world are going to go, oh, it's so bad, times are horrible. And they're going to wake up and rise up. And one thing could lead to another, and that could be the end of Beijing's control of Hong Kong. It could be their undoing. So what my point here is, if your goal is that Beijing no longer control Hong Kong, then Hong Kong passing a pro-Beijing law would actually fit with the goal. Because if Hong Kong passes a pro-Beijing law, and we don't want Beijing to control Hong Kong passes a pro-Beijing law, then everybody, you know, rises up and gets angry and pulls Hong Kong away from Beijing for good. You know, something like that. Okay. So it looks like it's going this way and then it totally turns around, flip-flops and goes the other way. This kind of stuff is happening. And I don't think the marches are really the big news. Everybody and their mom and CNN and CNN's dogs are reporting about that. I want to see what happens with Hong Kong's government after this. I want to know what Carrie Lam, the CEO of Hong Kong, does. All right. I've talked about a few things. You know, it goes back to innocent people. Who is really innocent? Who is really innocent? All right. I've probably made enough people mad with what I've had to say. And look, if you're upset about this, I'll hear it. I'll receive it. You know, tell me what you think. You know, and you know, maybe I'll talk about this later. Well, this has been an interesting week. For me, honestly, this has been an honest week. I feel like I could have done better this week with the podcast, maybe because I'm coming down with something. I'm going to try to make future weeks better, coming off of a lot of exhaustion, a lot of time coding and pounding at the computer. And it does that stuff. I promise I am going to make future weeks better, but I don't really think about it. Maybe you liked it. You know, it's really interesting. You know, Limbaugh said this week, he made some comment about Nancy Pelosi, Pelosi was losing control or something. And he thought it was a throwaway comment. As he said, he thought nobody was going to care. But apparently everybody erupted. You know, it goes back to that. It's an old, old thing. You never know what's going to get people all excited. You never know. You never know what it is. It's just going to sell like hotcakes. You never know for sure. Some things you can guess, but you never really know for sure how it's all going to go. I feel like this was a bad week. I wasn't, you know, with podcasting, I wasn't planning it that way, but it went that way. Now, maybe I could be in for another surprise. It turns out to be a great week. I have no idea, but I will see you next week. Love you tons.